We're turning our studies in the Ten Commandments to the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We're going to use the commandment as a measure to show us our sin, to drive us to Jesus, and to guide us for living. I'm going to start with father and mother, because every single person has them. For different reasons, we might not know them, but it's a biological impossibility for anyone not to have both a father and a mother. Brian Edwards, in his work on the Ten Commandments for today, says the child-parent relationship is the only common factor to everyone in society and to every society in human history. It's a reminder that family is foundational to a properly functioning society. And thus, this command comes first in the human commands. The first four commandments are about our relationship with God, the human God commands. And now we come to the next six commands, which are human to human commands. The first one is regarding family life. I think the fourth commandment is a sort of transitional commandment because it contains matters that relate to human relationships as well. Yes, we've got to set aside a day for God, but we've also got to make sure that our son and daughter, our manservant and maidservant and foreigners can enjoy that day as well. So the fourth commandment has got a Godward element with human pieces to it. But here, it's the first of these human-to-human relationships. And it's about the family, because family is foundational to properly functioning society. The importance of it is underlined in Deuteronomy 27. In Deuteronomy 27, the Israelites are commanded regarding the curses that have got to be pronounced when they get into the promised land. And in Deuteronomy 27 and verse 14, Moses instructs them, "The Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice, 'Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret.' Then all the people shall say, 'Amen.' 'Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother.' Then all the people shall say, 'Amen.'" And then a whole list of curses follows. But it's the second one after idolatry. That's how important honoring father and mother is. And then we can say that God's model for family life is father, mother, child. This is therefore the best arrangement in which a child can develop and flourish. Now, single parenthood can be brought about by a number of different factors: divorce, death, or premarital pregnancy, so there can be just a single parent. But artificial and unnatural deviations from this model, for instance, IVF for single women, provision for same-sex couples or transgender people using surrogacy or IVF or whatever, are wrong and damaging to a child, because they deliberately deprive a child of one of their parents. And we should challenge our society that undermines the family in this way. And we can do so not because the Bible says so, but because the evidence is on our side, that children do flourish best when they have a father and a mother. That is God's design. No wonder they flourish the best. This is God's model for family. Yes, we'll support those who this model has been disrupted because of natural causes, but artificial and unnatural deviations from it should be challenged and condemned. And then notice it's your father and your mother, reminding us of the unity and equality of parents as parents. It's underlined by, it doesn't just say your parents, it says honour your father and your mother. Both of them are mentioned and referred to, and they're mentioned and referred to together because children are to give equal honour to both of their parents. And so it's father and mother, the importance of family in God's design, the model for family as God has designed and purposed it, and the fact that mother and father are specifically referred to individually as those who are to be honoured, father and mother. But then secondly, it's honour. That is what is to be attributed to fathers and mothers. Again, the Lutheran commentator Lenski says, honour is the form love assumes towards those who are placed above us by God. Remember, the Lord Jesus summarised the Ten Commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. That's the first four commandments. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. That's the summary of the second table, the second six commandments. And so it's right to say that honour is the form that love assumes towards those who are placed above us by God. And that's a helpful reminder that it's, yes, primarily parents, but any that God has placed above us are to be honoured and respected. The word for honour comes from a basic word meaning what is heavy. And so it means, it's the opposite therefore of making light of treating with contempt. You are to give them weight. It's to esteem, to look up to have regard for them. What does it involve? Well, it involves our heart, our words, and our behaviour. They are all to reflect the honour that we bring to father and mother. Honour involves love. We must say that, obviously and basically. The children are to love their parents, to hold them in affection in that way. And then they are to respect them. It's brought out, for instance, in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. Leviticus 19 verse 3 says, each of you must respect his mother and father. And you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Each of you must respect his mother and father. Notice that the order is reversed there. You must respect, actually the word is fear. You must fear your mother and your father. Why is the order swapped round? I think Thomas Watson, the Puritan, has a helpful thought. He says, partly to put honour upon the mother because she is apt to be more slighted by her children, and partly because the mother endures more for the child, and therefore she is to have respect, and she's put first there in Leviticus. It is respect we are to bring to mothers and fathers. It involves love, it includes respect, and then it must include listening to them. And Proverbs chapter 1, and verses 8 and 9 make that clear. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Because transmission of truth for living is the responsibility of father and mother. The primary responsibility for the transmission of truth for living, remember that's what the book of Proverbs is all about, truth for living, is the responsibility of father and mother. Not their friends, but their father and mother. Not the TV, not social media, but their father and mother. Parents, therefore, need to be informed about what schools are teaching and transmitting regarding good living. so they know what is being taught, because they are ultimately responsible for transmitting truth for living to their children. Therefore, children are to listen to their father and mother. God commands it. But not only listening, obeying our parents. And Paul makes that clear, quoting this commandment in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." How do you know it's right? He quotes this commandment, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. A reminder that the Ten Commandments are binding upon Christian people. He's writing here to Christian children in the church, obey your parents in the Lord. And he's saying that this commandment is yours. It's not just for the Israelites. These weren't Jewish children. These were Christian children, Jews and Gentiles. They were under obligation to keep this command. The Ten Commandments are for us as New Covenant believers. And so you are to obey your parents. And Paul sees that as fulfilling, honour your father and mother. The Lord Jesus kept this commandment. Remember the story when Jesus had gone down to Jerusalem with his parents when he was 12 years old. They'd lost him, left him there. They'd gone back and found him. Mary says, "Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Even though they didn't understand him, he was obedient to them. And it only occurred to me this week that that is referring to the time when Jesus was 12. It wasn't when he was coming up to 12. It was from 12 onwards he was obedient to them. In those troublesome teenage years, he was obedient to his parents, even though they didn't understand him. And through all his wondrous childhood, he would honour and obey, love and watch the lowly mother in whose gentle arms he lay. Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he, for he is our childhood's pattern. I wasn't going to sing that this morning, but the praise hymn book has left that verse out of the carol for some reason. Jesus modelled this with parents who didn't understand him. Which helps us then with the next point, what else is involved? To bear patiently their failures, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. That's the Heidelberg Catechism explaining what's involved in this commandment. To bear patiently their failures, because none of us have perfect parents. We're to bear patiently their failures, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. And then we are to provide for them as they become old and aged. We are to provide for them. Remember the terrible rebuke of Jesus for those of his day who sought to circumnavigate this command. It occurs, for instance, in Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 3. We read in Matthew 15 and verse 3, Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honour his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." See, they were finding a way to get round this obligation to provide for their parents. And while we were thinking last week that we've got to hate our mother and father, these weren't doing this in order to honour God. They were doing it in order not to fulfil their duty to their parents. It wasn't a religious duty, it was just a way of avoiding their duty of providing for their parents. And again, Jesus models this for us. As he hung on the cross, Jesus saw Mary, his mother, there. When Jesus saw his mother there by the cross and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus provided for his mother. Yes, he had brothers and sisters, but he knew that John was the one to take care of Mary. And so he provided for his mother. When he was gone, he made sure that she was provided for and cared for. And Paul reinforces this obligation on Christians, as he writes to Timothy, for the Christians in Ephesus, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, he's speaking about the care of widows. The widow, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. So that obligation goes back a generation as well, to grandparents. We're to provide and care for those who have provided and cared for us. It's a repayment. And in old age, we're to ensure that our parents are cared for and provided for their needs. That's what's involved in honouring them, giving honour to parents. Of course, we have to say that we obey them unless they command something that is sinful. And Jonathan gives us an example of that, Saul's son, Jonathan. You remember, Saul is determined to be rid of David, who he sees as a threat to his throne. And they've had this feast. David's chair is empty, and Jonathan brings the excuse that David had said, that he had to be back home in his own town. And we read in 1 Samuel 20, verse 30. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he must die." "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. On that second day of the month, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. Saul said, "Go and get David, he must die." Jonathan said, "No, he's done nothing deserving of death." He did go out to battle with his father at the end of Saul's life and died alongside his father in that battle. So he didn't totally disown his father, but he showed that, yes, he has an obligation to obey God rather than men. That's the only times we disobey our parents, when they command us to do what is sinful. So, father and mother, the importance of family, God's model for the home. We are to honour them and what that involves. And then thirdly, the promise to live long. To live long. The added promise is, as Thomas Watson says, for the purpose of recommending it to the young. Because it's not very attractive to honour your parents. Young people all through the centuries have wanted to do their own thing and go their own way. Now, the purpose of the promise is to recommend this duty to the young. It's a motivation to an encouragement to obedience. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And you remember that Paul reiterates the commandment with the promise in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. And he highlights the fact which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And it's interesting, the word that's used for the earth or the land, or it's actually the ground, the earth, the soil. So it reminds it's a general promise. It's not restricted to the land of Israel. It's the ground on which you walk is the reference. So for long life, yes, eat your portions of fiber. Get your exercise, but honour your father and mother. Because that's God's promise. That's not the promise of the health department. That's God's promise if you want long life. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long, as Paul says, and it may go well with you, bringing up what's said in Deuteronomy 5 when the Ten Commandments are reiterated by Moses, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's a general promise, as God's promises are in God's providence. Sometimes things go differently than we anticipate, but that's the general promise, the general rule. There will be exceptions, but the general rule, those who honour their parents will enjoy long life. It will go well with them. And the importance again is we emphasise the next chapter in Exodus 21. That tells us in verse 17, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Honour your parents, live long. Curse your father and mother. It's the death penalty which the Lord Jesus quoted when he was speaking to the Pharisees of his day. I think part of the reason for living long is drawn out for us in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verses 39 and 40, where the same phrase occurs. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39 says, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God gives you for all time. See, going well and living long is related to covenant faithfulness. And clearly, covenant faithfulness is nurtured in the family. That's the primary place where covenant faithfulness is nurtured, where children are explained that there is only one God and we must honour and worship him. It's in the home where these things are displayed shown to children. What covenant faithfulness looks like. And that's why I think long life is connected to this commandment of honouring our parents, because they are the ones who will instruct us about right living and covenant faithfulness. There is a stark contrast given in the book of Proverbs. I hope you're sitting comfortably. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Again, it's underlining, isn't it, the importance of honouring your parents. You'll have long life. If you do the opposite, it's ruination. It's miserable ruination. You can't think of anything worse than what was described there. But that's what God's word tells us. There's the promise, long life. There's the warning of ruination. Perhaps we see that reflected, don't we, in our own society, the tragedy at the moment of this increased gang violence that we're seeing. Isn't it partly due to the fact that youngsters are honouring their gang rather than their mother and their father? And they're coming to a miserable end because they are not doing what God says. They're not listening and obeying their parents. That's part of the problem. There are other issues undoubtedly, but surely we see that in our society even today. And so this fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. How do we respond to it? Well, first of all, we repent. Because God's law is given to expose our sin. And we have to repent of our childhood sins. And we have to repent of our present sins. Those of us who've got aged parents, do we always honour them in our language as we speak about them? Do we honour them in the ways that we've seen in providing for them and so on? We need to repent of our sin and acknowledge we don't measure up. And then we have to give thanks for Jesus, our law keeper and our punishment bearer. That the Lord Jesus kept this command perfectly, even with the parents he had, faulty, failing parents who didn't understand him. He kept this command perfectly, to death, to the point of death when he provides for his mother throughout his life. Jesus kept this command faultlessly. But then he bore the punishment that all our dishonouring of our parents deserved. All our mistreatment of our parents, Jesus took the punishment that deserved, so that our sins, though crimson, could be as white as snow. We should promote and support family in our society. We live in a day when our society threatens to undermine family. We need to promote and support family. We need to challenge our society when it goes against God's model and undermines God's model for family. We need to give thanks for the work of the Christian Institute as they alert us to these things. But we need to promote and support family. We need to support families in our church and encourage those with the responsibility. If that word for honour means heavy, it's a heavy responsibility, isn't it, parenting? We need to support and encourage each other. We need to pray. We need to pray for families. We need to pray for our nation and our society. We need to pray for believers elsewhere in the world where there are different pressures on family. We give thanks to God for his law. And we use it in these ways for his glory. Let's turn to God in prayer. Some moments of silence as we reflect on our own lives and our personal need of repentance. Lord, thank you for your goodness and wisdom in giving fathers and mothers to every child. Lord, forgive us for our abuse of that blessing, for the dishonour that we have shown in heart and word and behaviour. Lord, help us to repent and to put right what we need to. Thank you for Jesus, our Saviour, who perfectly kept this law as we so miserably failed to. Thank you that he bore the punishment that our failure deserves so that we could be pardoned and forgiven. Thank you for our Saviour, Jesus. Lord, help us to support and encourage family life. Lord, in our church family, in our society, in this area, by whatever means we can. We know how properly functioning families are crucial to a flourishing society. Lord, have mercy on our nation and land, we pray. Give wisdom, Lord, to those in authority so that they don't overturn, Lord, what you have planned and purposed for family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. Amen.